It's great to be with you today. It's good to be together to worship the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
And we have been studying for the last several weeks, looking at how can we live for Jesus in our lives. Before we get into our lesson this morning, though, I want to remind you of two things happening today. First of all, 5 o'clock is our first meeting we're having on Vacation Bible School. We've got a great study plan for this summer for Vacation Bible School. It's going to be a lot of fun, very similar to what we did last year. It will be on the New Testament, though, this year. So I want to encourage you to come to the meeting, find out about the details of what we're doing, and see also how you might be able to get involved in Vacation Bible School. So that will be at 5 o'clock. And then right after our meeting at 6 o'clock is our annual chili cook-off. Seeking the Golden Ladle Award will be granted to someone this evening who has the best chili. Our format is going to be a little bit different tonight as far as our judging. I'll tell you about that tonight. I want to encourage you to come and share that time of fellowship food. If you don't make chili, that's okay. Just come anyway. Bring fixings to go with it, the stuff that you put in chili. Just come, and we need drinks also. So just come have a good time of fellowship this evening, 6 o'clock, for our chili cook-off. Now, we've been talking about how corrupt the world is and how full of all kinds of sin and corruption and evil that we live in this kind of a world today. And the problem that we're facing oftentimes is that a lot of Christians aren't really a whole lot different than the way the world is living. That we find a lot of folks who just kind of want to live this, what I call Christianity life. I want some of God, but I don't really want to make this whole commitment. When it comes to studying the Bible, they want to pick and choose, kind of like a buffet. You know, what parts I like and what parts I don't, and I'm going to leave the other parts there. As God's holy people, we want to live as God's holy people. We've got to reject those notions, and we've got to be determined to be committed to living holy lives for Almighty God. So that's what we're really talking about, and we're talking about it in the context of the fact that we live in a very dysfunctional world. Okay? And then basically the question and the issue that we're trying to address with this is, how do we as God's holy people function in this dysfunctional world that we live in? When the world really is, as I've been saying all along, where we have dysfunction is the new functional. In other words, everything is kind of tipped upside down, and what was dysfunctional not very long ago is now functional, and what was functional is now dysfunctional. You're wrong if you hold these beliefs and you practice these things, and everything is just upside down. How do we as God's holy people, how do we live in a world, in a culture where we are continually being pushed to the fringes, to the outside of our culture and our society? How do we live, not just survive, but how do we live and represent God as His holy people in that world? So that's what we're focusing on, is living a godly life in an ungodly world. And this, we were looking at this thing because we really need to focus more and more of our daily life activities on how do the things that I do, how do what I live in my life affect the other people around me? In the decisions I make, in the choices that I make, in the things that I do, the places I go, the things that I say, how does that affect the people in my family? How does that affect the people in my neighborhood, my neighbors, and the folks that I interact with on a regular basis? How about the people, if I'm a student, how does it affect the people that I go to school with? And how about the folks on my job? How does my life and the way that I'm living it affect the lives of other people? Or another way to look at it and consider very seriously is, am I being affected by other people's lives rather than affecting people's lives for Jesus? So we're talking about living a holy life in an unholy world, living our life for Jesus every day. This morning in our study, I want to talk about living in peace. And if you think about it, you know, in a world that is so upside down, so dysfunctional, so full of turmoil as the world is that we live in today, we really need to be able to find peace and live at peace The question we're going to focus on this morning is, how do we do that? How do we live in peace for Jesus in our daily lives in the midst of turmoil, in the midst of all the garbage that we have to face in our lives? Philippians chapter 4, the text that we read as we began this morning, the text that is probably familiar to most of you, very familiar to most of you here. The Apostle Paul writes this and telling us, and he's giving it as a way of us to be encouraged, all right? Look at what he says. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Okay, now, to start out with, we talked about this idea back a couple of months ago in one of the lessons that we were talking about, this idea of things being all-inclusive. And in this text, there are four words that are all-inclusive words. In other words, we have to understand the nature of this kind of language, that it is all-inclusive. In other words, there's nothing left out when these words are used, okay? Words like always, okay? So when he says, rejoice in the Lord always, that's all-inclusive, right? And the word all, let your gentleness be evident to all. The words anything and everything, all-inclusive words. So we need to understand that when those words are used, nothing is excluded. In other words, there's nothing that it doesn't apply to. So I look at my life, I look at the situations I face in my life, good or bad, and I need to realize that this applies to everything. There's nothing excluded. There's nothing that I can say, well, it doesn't apply here. Okay? There is no part of my life that these statements don't apply to. It is all the good, the bad, and the ugly of our life. Okay? These statements apply to all of them. You see, the problem is we tend to want to apply them to the things that are good in our lives. And we sometimes can apply them to the things that are bad in our lives as a way to kind of cheer us up a little bit. But I think mostly we have a real difficult time trying to apply these things to the ugly stuff in our life. And I don't know about you, but there's a lot of times in my life when I face ugly. Okay? And I'm not talking about people. I'm talking about experiences. I'm talking about stuff that I need to deal with in my life. It's ugly sometimes. Any of you have that problem? Yeah, we all do. We all do. We all have to face, and we all have in our lives some good, some bad, and some ugly stuff that we have to confront and we've got to deal with. How do we do that, you say, especially with the ugly stuff in our life, how do we do it keeping what Paul has told us to do? That's what we want to focus on this morning. I want you to notice, though, how complete are these statements that Paul makes here to us. All right, take a look at them. Rejoice in the Lord always. You don't sound very convincing. Rejoice in the Lord always. Even in the ugly stuff that's going on in our lives, you mean I'm supposed to rejoice in that?
Yeah.
We're going to talk a little bit more about that in a moment as to how we do that and why it's possible for us to do that. But he says, rejoice in the Lord always. There is never a situation in our lives, in other words, where we should not be rejoicing. And I know some of you are sitting there going, whoa, wait a minute, you don't know about some of the ugly stuff going on in my life. And what I'm here to tell you this morning is it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how ugly it is. If you latch on to this, you can find rejoicing even in the ugly stuff. We'll talk about how we can do that in just a moment. Notice what he says, let your gentleness be evident to who?
All.
To all. Not just the people that are nice to us, the people that are gentle to us, but that would apply even to the people who are ugly to us. And that's not looks, okay? All right, you understand, I'm not talking about ugly people and looking people. I'm talking about people whose attitude is ugly. You ever meet any of those people?
Ooh.
Yeah, we did, don't we? And yet Paul says, let your gentleness be evident to all. And that includes those people. You see, if we only are able to rejoice in the Lord when things are good, and we're only able to be gentle when people are gentle to us, what value is our faith in Christ Jesus? I suggest to you, absolutely none. Anybody can do that. Anybody can do that. But God calls upon us to be more than that. Don't be anxious about anything. And you say, wait a minute, Rush, you don't know what's going on in my life. And I've got all this anxiety in my life over this. You know, maybe I don't know what God does. And I'm not the one who said this. He is. Okay? Are you following me here? God says, look, I know what's going on in your life. But I don't want you to be anxious about that. I want you to trust in me. Okay? And I want you to give how much? Everything to me in prayer. Everything. Not just the big stuff that you feel like you can't handle. Give me everything. We've been talking about in our Bible class, you know, the whole concept of supernaturalism. The idea that says that God's Spirit is living and active and is working in the ordinary things that are going on in our lives. Everything. God wants to be involved in everything of our lives, not just the parts we want to give Him. And that's why He tells us, bring me your everything. Not just the stuff you can't handle. Bring me everything. And by the way, that includes the good in our lives too. We need to bring that. How often do you bring the good to God and just say thank you? That's included in everything, isn't it? You see? And so is the bad stuff. So is the ugly stuff. And He says, bring it all to me. Everything. Don't leave anything out. But bring it to Him. So let's talk about this idea of rejoicing. How does that really work? Well, we need to rejoice in the Lord, He says, not in our circumstances. And that's, I think, where we get hung up. Because we focus on the circumstance. We say, how can I rejoice when this is going on? He doesn't say rejoice in what's going on, does He? He says rejoice in the Lord. And how often?
Always.
How often?
Always.
And when we focus on the Lord in the midst of whatever circumstances we are in, then we can find reason to rejoice. You say, well, how does that happen, right? Well, here's how it happens. Because we learn to understand that the Lord is our strength. Okay? The Lord is my strength. So therefore, I don't have to be afraid of what I am facing, whatever the circumstances are. I'm trusting in Him. And so the joy of the Lord, that rejoicing in Him becomes a strength to me in the midst of even the ugly stuff that I face in my life. Well, what else do we need to be rejoicing in the Lord in, and how can that help us, especially in the midst of ugly? Okay? Well, we rejoice in the Lord because of our salvation. You see? Rejoice in the Lord always because of your salvation. Sometimes, I don't know about you, but sometimes I feel like there isn't anything else right now while I'm going through what I'm going through except for that for me to rejoice in. Because I'm looking forward to this mess being over, and I'm going to be with Him. And the only reason I can do that is because of Him. The fact that He died for me. Remember this passage we looked at back a while ago, where Paul talks about the fact that whatever the ugly we're dealing with in life, he refers to it as what? It is momentary and light affliction. Okay? It's temporary. It's momentary. You say, well, Russ, it doesn't feel like momentary. It certainly doesn't feel like light. This is really ugly stuff. But when you put it into the proper perspective of what? Eternity. It is light and momentary. When we only focus on the here and now, it can become very burdensome. It can become overwhelming because we don't see the light at the end of the tunnel when we're focused on the here and now. But he wants us to focus on eternity, and we begin to realize then that our salvation is not temporary, it is eternal. And wow, I can really find rejoicing in that, even in the midst of the ugly stuff I deal with in my life. So how can Paul tell us to rejoice in the Lord always, even in the ugly? When I focus on what my Lord has done for me and where I'm going, when I'm done here, that puts everything in proper perspective. And I'm not rejoicing in the circumstances. I'm rejoicing in the fact that I have a Lord who can overwhelm the circumstances that I am facing in my life. When you look at it that way, what's not to be joyful about? This situation is only temporary anyway. It's not going to last forever. And I've got something so much better to look forward to. It is eternal. Okay? So let's talk about creating an atmosphere. In other words, what is the value of these things that Paul is telling us to do? Well, I believe it comes from this whole concept. I think what Paul really wants to understand is this idea of creating an atmosphere. What do I mean by that? Well, think about it this way. If you want to grow some plants, let's say you want to grow a garden or flowers or what have you, you need to have certain things that in a sense kind of create an atmosphere that is conducive to growth. And if you have those things, then your plants are going to grow and they're going to thrive. If you don't have them, then they're not. It's that simple. Okay? So what are the things that I'm suggesting? There's four things that we've got to have in order to have plants that are conducive to growth, or an atmosphere, rather, that is conducive to growth for our plants. The first one is water. Now, you've got to have the proper amount of water for your plants. The second one is fertilizer. Okay, you got to have the proper soil and fertilizer and so forth in there in order for the plants to be able to thrive. The next one is light. You got to have the proper amount of light for your plants. And the fourth one is one we don't often think about, but it's temperature. Okay, so in other words, if you had house plants and you put them outside out here now at this time of the year, they're going to look ugly. Okay, they're not going to grow. They're going to die. So we've got to pay attention to these things. And by the way, all different kinds of plants require different kinds or amounts of these things, don't they? You can't give all plants the same amount of water. Some of them will drown and others will dry up and die because they need different amounts. Same way with the fertilizer and the light and the temperature. They all need different amounts. So if we want to create the right atmosphere for what we have, then we've got to find out what works for them. And that's the same that's true with us. You see, it's kind of basically the idea here of creating an atmosphere. It's like a greenhouse effect, right? If you want to have the right atmosphere, then you can build a greenhouse and put your plants in there, and you can control all of those factors, can't you? You see? And thus, you can have some thriving plants, and if you do that, then your plants will look like this, okay? But if you don't, you know, provide the right atmosphere for your plants to grow, and giving them the proper amounts of all of those things, then chances are your plants will look more like this. Okay? Some of you going, that's how my plants look. You know? But you see, it's all about creating the right atmosphere that is conducive to growth. Well, the same thing is true about our spiritual growth. And I think that's what Paul is talking about. At least, I think that's the best way to look at what Paul is saying here. I think sometimes we tend to look at this passage, we've studied, and we look at it and go, oh yeah, I'm supposed to be thankful about everything, and you know, I'm supposed to be rejoicing in the midst of problems, and how to create an atmosphere. I think that's what Paul's saying here. Create an atmosphere that is conducive to the growth of your spirituality. In other words, a spiritual greenhouse. Okay? Now, what are the ingredients that we need to have to to create an atmosphere that is conducive to spiritual growth? Well, it's the four things that Paul was talking about in this text, okay? He's talking about rejoicing in the Lord how often?
Always.
Okay? That begins to help create an atmosphere. And be gentle. Let your gentleness be known to how many folks?
All.
Okay? And then to not be anxious about anything in our lives. And by prayer and petition, present how much? Everything to God. See? These four things, if you look at it as the ingredients of creating this atmosphere that allows you to, when you're faced with the ugly in your life and the bad stuff in your life, to still be able to grow spiritually and to live your life for God, that's what we're talking about. So that even when the weather's bad outside of my life, in other words, when I'm facing the turmoil, I'm facing the garbage in my life, I'm still able to grow and thrive. Because I'm growing and I'm thriving inside, and I'm not letting the outside atmosphere to corrupt me or to interrupt and to keep me from growing. Does that make sense? You see? So I want to encourage you to be thinking about what he's saying here in this idea of creating this atmosphere, using these four things to create an atmosphere that will sustain you as you try to live a holy life in this unholy world that we live in. Now, there's one other part of this passage that we need to make sure we understand. A part that makes no earthly sense whatsoever. Okay? And it's the part where Paul says, if we do those four things, we create that atmosphere. He says, the peace of God, which transcends how much understanding?
All
understanding, okay? Will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And as Forrest Gump would say, you know, some things just don't make no sense. And the truth is, to the world, it doesn't make any sense. How can you find peace in the midst of that kind of turmoil in your life? And the answer is, because I've got a guard, my heart and my mind, as I've created this atmosphere. See? Go back and think about the greenhouse. You know, you got that greenhouse all built, and it's keeping everything growing inside spiritually, and there's a door on it, right? And there's a guard at the door. So that door's not open during, you know, the bad times and let all kinds of garbage in there, let the bad weather in. You see? Notice that he says here, that peace, that really... The word here, I think, more is akin to defies. It defies all understanding. It makes no earthly sense whatsoever. How you can have that kind of peace in the midst of turmoil. But he says that peace will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now, probably most of you have seen, if you watch TV at all, you've probably seen the LifeLock commercial where the guys come into the bank, say this is a robbery, you know, and the guy, the guard, the fellow standing there in the uniform, the guys come in, they bust into place and tell everybody to get on the floor. And this guy's just standing there. Y'all seen this?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the guy's just standing there, and the people laying on the floor say, do something, and he says what? Oh, I'm not a security guard, I'm a security monitor. I just notify people if there's a robbery. And then he looks over at the robbers and he turns back to the people on the floor and says, there's a robbery. Yeah. Well, you know, here's the message I want you to understand. God doesn't just put a monitor on your heart and on your mind. He's got a guard there. And there's a huge difference between the two. Because a monitor just simply notifies when something goes wrong. A guard is there to prevent anything from going wrong. Now, which would you rather have, a monitor or a guard? You see, because here's the bottom line. things are going to go wrong, okay? The bank is going to get robbed, all right? I don't want a God who's just going to notify me when things go bad. I already know that. I want a God who's going to protect me. I want a God who's going to guard my heart and mind and not let Satan overcome me in the midst of the turmoil and the garbage and the bad and the ugly in my life. And a God who I can rejoice with in all the good stuff and the bad. A God for my heart and mind. And here's a picture for you maybe to put in your mind to think about what that might be like. Castle wall built around your heart and your mind to protect you and defend you in the midst of, not from, all the bad stuff and all the ugly stuff, but in the midst of all the bad and the ugly stuff in your life. And that's His promise. Rejoice in the Lord always. Always. Even in the ugly stuff that you have to deal with. And how can you do that? Because knowing you've got a guard on your heart and on your mind. And He's not going to let you down. Have you been letting the bad and the ugly stuff overwhelm you? Having a difficult time trying to rejoice in the midst of the garbage in your life that you face, that maybe has caused you to kind of hide your holiness, so to speak, so that you're not really representing the Lord the way that you should. Well, I hope that the message this morning has encouraged you to know that you can find that rejoicing and you can have that guard over your heart and mind, even in the midst of the bad stuff. If there's something that we can do for you, if you're struggling with something in your life, and we can encourage you and help you, that's what we want to do this morning. So that you can feel the safety and security that God has placed around you. There's someone here this morning who's not yet given their life to Christ, and you're not a Christian. You need to understand that you are lost in your sins. That means you're separated from God. And you will be for all eternity unless you give your life to Him. If you're ready to make that commitment, then you can do that right now this morning. Call upon Jesus as your Lord. Repent of the sin that's separating you from Him. And have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. You can do that right now. You don't have to wait. And you can have that God in your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. We want to serve you in any way that we can. We can't serve you if we don't know what you need. So we offer an invitation. Dale will be in the back to receive anyone. If you'd like to have a private prayer or conversation with him back there, and I'll be right up front to receive anyone if you'd like to come up here. Let's stand together and sing.